Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following is a presentation of Morning Drive Media.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed, and I'm your host, Ken Napsok, for another edition of Spotlight Star Wars, a monologue from me to you. A lot of things to discuss this week. Have I said this before? What a great time it is to be a Star Wars fan. A lot of news and notes this week that I want to discuss. Some great questions for you from you guys out there on hashtag Spotlight Star Wars that are inspiring me to get up this morning and talk Star Wars with you all. First thing, sad note, but I did want to address the death and the passing of Tony Dyson. The professor and robot maker was the creator of Star Wars' R2-D2, the character, the actual robot itself. He had a team, he had a company called the White House Toy Company, and they designed the droid, to be clear, as I read this article. But he very key in the development and creation of one of the most beloved characters in all of cinema, and arguably one of the most noticeable and iconic characters of the Star Wars universe. I would say Darth Vader is number one, but it could be argued, and maybe on some show we will argue one day, that R2-D2 and C-3PO are just as noticeable worldwide and throughout history for Star Wars is any other character. Yeah, Han Solo, Luke, and Leia, and all those Chewbacca, the Millennium Falcon itself, but I kind of think R2 and 3PO are known. You see them, you know them. That's R2. That's 3PO. They're from Star Wars. Haven't really seen it, but I know those robots are in that space movie. And a credit to Tony Dyson and his team for creating this iconic character. And sad to hear of his passing at 68. I have an R2-D2 sippy cup that I'm going to proudly drink out of the rest of this week. So rest in peace, Mr. Dyson. Star Wars Rebels. Can we talk about Star Wars Rebels this week? No secret, I've been somewhat of a critic of the show, which is weird for a nearly 40-year-old man to say about a show on Disney XD. But hey, we're Star Wars fans. Let's do it. It's time to crawl inside the Star Wars nerd bubble as we have this debate. Rebels, it has great moments. It has great aspirations. I think it does a lot of things well. It has a lot of great characters. It just sometimes the sums aren't as good as the whole. Or the parts aren't as good as the sum. The 2 + 2 equals chicken, to quote Brian Regan. I don't know. There's so much I want to talk about. I'm messing up all the phrases I should know. But as I've been saying on this show, sometimes the show is too heavy on puffer pigs and lessons about teamwork and team and friendship. And hey, look, we need that. And this is a kids' show, after all. Star Wars is for the kids and the kids in heart out there. But this past week, the episode that was titled The Shroud of Darkness was by far the best episode of Rebels yet. I put it up there with some of the best in the Clone Wars. And if you haven't seen it, I'm going to say right now, this is your spoiler warning. Time to maybe step aside. I'm not going to go into it too deep. I'm not a recap and review show, but I do need to address it. Yoda's in this. Ahsoka tying herself in story now to Anakin and Vader and bringing Anakin into Rebels, not just Vader. And you actually see a hologram of Anakin back in his training days at the academy, where he's training like a lightsaber fighting class. We get to learn a lot about the Inquisitor, the Grand Inquisitor. Perhaps when he was just the Inquisitor, I liked it. The Grand Inquisitor sounds slightly unintentionally racist. It invokes images from real life that I'm not comfortable with. But the Grand Inquisitor is his name. You learn a lot about him, a lot in a little moment about the Inquisitor and who he is or who he was. And then Kanan becomes a Jedi Knight now, officially. You were no longer a Padawan learner, which kind of technically he still was. He never officially became a Jedi, thanks to Order 66. And if you haven't, check out that Marvel comic series about Kanan. It is good. So much in this episode. I know they all can't be like this. I don't expect that. But this one raised some great questions. It sets up a lot of good things, and it is deep. It has got dark undertones. We're looking at Ahsoka finally accepting, finally realizing maybe officially after some feelings deep down that Anakin is still around and that Anakin is perhaps this dark Lord of the Sith. It is now fully in her mind that this is probably the case, and this sets up a battle that I think we want to see. And look, we don't know what happens to the Ahsoka character. Is she in Rogue One? We thought maybe she might be in Episode 7 in some capacity, in some an older version of her, of the character. Who knows? Maybe she'll be in 8. You can speculate to the end of time. I don't know if Ahsoka is going to survive Rebels. I don't know. I just don't know. It would make sense that the character would be killed. this time around, as opposed to fading away and going into hiding, as she did at the end of Clone Wars. Ahsoka, I'm on the record as saying, grew into being one of my favorite characters in the Star Wars universe, and there's a lot of intrigue and depth to that character that developed over time, which again, I use as an argument against myself when I say I don't like Ezra Bridger, the main character in Rebels. And you're already seeing some growth in Ezra, so shame on me for not having faith in the growth of Ezra, much like I understand and love the growth of Ahsoka over the course of the Clone Wars. So that was the thing that my favorite thing of that episode was that Ahsoka is now pretty sure that Darth Vader character is her former Jedi master, Anakin Skywalker. I think we're going to see something there. But there's some other great things. When the Inquisitor is revealed, that he was a fallen Jedi temple guard, and a great kind of vision slash reality force situation with Kanan in this Jedi temple on Luthal. I loved it. I mean, you got the stuff with Yoda showing up, and there's a lot of hinting, and the Inquisitor says it point blank to Kanan that, hey, you know what? You can't do everything to save Ezra, and he will be exposed to the dark side, and there are dark powers trying to get him. Ezra is powerful. And it also ties into that now that Kanan's powers are growing, and Ahsoka, though not officially a Jedi anymore, she's got Force powers. Ezra's growing, and Vader says, hey, these Jedi, their Force powers are growing, and that's going to be their undoing. So you even got that, which could lead to why they're no longer going to be around in the story come New Hope. There's a lot of good things, but the Inquisitor revealing himself to be a fallen Jedi is intriguing to me. Yoda mentioning the planet Malachor, which is a planet I'm not overly familiar with. I gotta admit, I'm not overly familiar with it because it is an old Republic video game type of situation going on here, and I'm not an expert on that. I don't pretend to be an expert on that. I've been doing some reading on Malachor, or Malachor 5 as it's called. It is in canon now, obviously because of Rebels, but it wasn't new to canon. It has been mentioned. In an episode of the Clone Wars cartoon. But for Yoda to say that, hey, you guys, I'm talking to, Ezra, that, hey, you guys are going to need to go to Malachor. You're going to find some stuff there. And that Kanan and Ahsoka both went upon hearing that from Ezra, kind of, it's getting hot in here. We don't know about that. Immediately, that kind of stuff is intriguing to me. I love when the Star Wars universe is expanded a little bit more. And now we have a new planet to study up on, learn. Again, not new to many people. But it is it's key, and it has to do I'm reading up here myself, and like I said, I was doing some reading on Malachor today. And by all means, if you're out there and you know a little bit more about Malachor and what it means to the Old Republic and the Knights of the Old Republic games and the stories and where we could possibly go with this planet now being front and center in canon, let me know. Tweet me at Ken Apsok, Force Center Pod, and hashtag Spotlight Star Wars, because that's one of the things I love, man, when something new pops up and it gets on your radar screen and you got to read about it just when you think you knew everything about Star Wars, something else pops up. So this is this planet's going to factor in. It had to do with the galactic during the Galactic Civil War time as well. There's something called Malachor Company. Of course, again, I'm just reading it straight here, trying to learn along with you out there. But then again, the Inquisitor being revealed to be a Jedi temple guard and basically a fallen Jedi is very intriguing to me, because I was all on board for the character of the Inquisitor when it was revealed as like the main villain of Rebels. I like the design. General Kallus, I like as well. But the sideburns were a little much for me initially, but I like that character. But the Inquisitor, I got. It looked like something in the Star Wars universe. So when the character kind of vanished and disappeared at the end of season one, in what we apparently thought was a death, and I still believe probably is a death, I was puzzled along with everybody, like, well, all right, and we've got two more Inquisitors coming this season, the fifth brother and the seventh sister, and those are, you know, that's all good. And Sarah Michelle Gellar gets to voice act alongside her husband. That's awesome, on board there. But I couldn't help it was another think that it was another example of a Star Wars villain being wasted. Think Boba Fett, think Captain Phasma. There's Darth Maul, of course, maybe perhaps the biggest of all as an example. Foolish me again. Clearly, the Inquisitor has a lot more to him. And the fact that he was a fallen Jedi, the fact that he could be something else. Could the Inquisitor go with me here? Could the Inquisitor be Snoke? I've talked to my my conspiracy theory friend Kevin, who I'm still getting on the Force Center show soon. He believes that the Inquisitor could be related to Snoke or Plagueis or even Darth Nihilus. He believes that stuff too. So there's a new level of intrigue to the Inquisitor. Where does he factor in? How deep does the conspiracy go? Could the Inquisitor be Snoke? I'm just asking. You tell me. A lot of references in this episode to the dark side and Ezra. Could Ezra be Snoke? Oh, that's crazy, Ken. That's crazy. You must be drunk on a Saturday morning. Ah, no. But I'm asking, is it possible? Could Ezra be Snoke? Time goes on. Some serious lightsaber fights. Maybe Luke beats up Ezra / Snoke, you know. You don't know. Time in the dark side might do weird things. We don't know that Snoke is an alien life form. You'd think it based on the design. More Plagueis, a nod to Plagueis than anything else. But time in the dark side and injuries. Look at Palpatine. Look what he became. Just a nice little old man with a little bit of tuft of white hair. An overbite, and now he's a couple lightning blasts being reflected by Mace, and no, 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 and suddenly he's the Emperor. So who knows what could have happened to Ezra? Maybe he's Snoke. I don't know if I believe that, but I'm putting it out there. Let's debate about it. Let's talk about it. A lot of great things about this episode. I hope Rebels can continue this. I know it's not all going to be like this. We're going to get some Puffer Pigs coming back, I'm sure, but this episode finally started to pay off some of the stuff that was hinted at in the season 2 trailers we were seeing that I didn't think we were getting, and or we're getting in smaller chunks, and I wanted big full episodes. And the second half of Rebels this year, season 2 has been great. I think it's been better than season 1. But the second half of season 2 now is living up to the hope I had at the end of season 1. The end of Rebels in season 1 got me geeked up, got me excited, where I had been really debating whether I truly liked this show or not, or was just taking it in because it was Star Wars. But I'm on board. I'm watching it closely. I'm counting puffer pigs and teamwork and friendship lessons. But I want more of this. There's so much about those characters, even though I'm on record saying I don't really like the novel New Dawn, Hera and Kanan are very intriguing characters. And we got to see a lot with Hera and her father in a recent episode of Rebels, which ties to the Clone Wars. And Kanan, like I said, I actually kind of think someone asked me the other day, what is your favorite of the new Star Wars Marvel comics? And I answered Kanan. I answered Kanan, which kind of surprised me. It just popped out of my mouth like that. But Vader was starting strong, and it's gone the way of the weird cyborgs. Kanan's had some interesting storylines, but overall, it's just something. There's something about it. There's something about that timeline and that time, that era, the prequel kind of post Sith era. That's intriguing to me. There's a lot to mine there post Order 66. There's a lot to me. There's got to be a lot of other Jedis, not a ton, but a lot of other Jedis that survived Order 66. And I think there's more stories to tell. There's more characters to stumble on. And, I think they're doing good work on Rebels with these characters that have a lot of stories. I just hope it all ties up well as we race towards Rogue One. Which one are we getting that trailer? Are we getting that Rogue One trailer? Can someone speed that up? I know there were some clips released or some descriptions of clips. I'm trying hard not to dive into the spoilers on Rogue One. I had one of the clips described to me. Seems simple. I don't feel anything was given away. I didn't want to see it, but I let myself hear the description. It sounded cool, but it sounded simple. And I'm hearing Rogue One very much has a New Hope feel and design to it. I hope it's a little more realistically gritty, but... when are we getting that trailer? Someone out there, dig it up. Find me. Tell it to me. Tell me that information. I want a Rogue One teaser, if not the full trailer. Marvel Comics, as I mentioned, have a lot of titles, and they are now adding Han Solo. We're getting a 5-issue short-run series on Han Solo. I'm excited about it. I'm clearing away a section in my comic book boxes. It's about time. But I understand why they didn't dive into Solo early on. There's a lot of other characters. The Poe comics coming out soon as well. We had to get the Chewie one, the Leia one, the Lando one. It makes sense we'd have Han. I hope they keep it to a 5-issue run. I don't need so many Star Wars comics. And there's other characters I think you could do other 5-issue short runs with. This one, though, I'll tell you what, it's set, though, I'm reading the description. Entertainment Weekly posted the story about it this week. And I want to thank listener Stephen Patrick Helm at Steve O Says Stuff, who actually tipped me off to this. I hadn't seen the story, and he tweeted me the story. So, Stephen, thank you. The only thing I don't say apprehensive or don't like. The only thing is it set. The description is, hey, this is set between A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back. And that seems to be the time a lot of these original trilogy character comics are being set, which I understand. I think eventually we'll move to stuff set between Empire and Jedi. Between New Hope and Empire, there's, I think, more to play with, to be fair. After Empire and going into Jedi, it's kind of not a one-track story, but hey, you kind of know what's happening. The Rebels got to get Han. It was at Jabba's palace. Luke's recovering. The war rages on. I think there's maybe a little less corners of the stories to crawl up into than the era between New Hope and Empire. So I understand it. I hope they get out of that soon, which is maybe one of the reasons I like Kanan more than maybe I even thought I would, is it's set in a different era. The Obi-Wan and Anakin comic, not grabbing me as much, but it's definitely an intriguing idea. So this Han thing is set between that time. What I do like about it, though, is the description of it describes as Han Solo no longer sure who he really is. You know, some things happen in New Hope where, you know, maybe Han found himself kind of sort of needing to change, wanting to change, not sure how to change. And I understand that line. That is key to me. The toughest battle Han Solo ever fought was against his own self-interest, starts the article. And that's very true to the Star Wars, the Han Solo character, I should say. And I think it ties into even Force Awakens. I think that was the struggle Han carried his entire life. And I'm glad that this comic will dive into the immediate reactions Han Solo had to his heroic turn. Probably something he wasn't comfortable with. Clearly something he wasn't comfortable with. Because I think in The Force Awakens, you saw that when faced with a lot of stress, which we're still finding and going to find out what a lot of that stress was, he reverted to his pre-New Hope form of who he was. So, hey, maybe this comic will help set that up, but I'm excited about it. I love Han. Even when I question whether or not they should do a young Han Solo movie or anything like that, I love stories about Han Solo. So I'm definitely going to be purchasing that comic, and I'm sure you will out there too. Let's go to the Twitter machine and talk to you guys using the hashtag Spotlight Star Wars. I appreciate all of you listening to our show here and taking an interest in what I do every week and what Joseph and Jennifer and I are doing with Force Center Pod. The hashtag Spotlight Star Wars and the conversation we have does mean a lot to me. Darth Vanquish checks in at Darth Vanquish. I like that name. Is that a made up name, or is that some old Republic character that played in, you could play in one mission? And I don't know. I like that name, Darth Vanquish. He's got some ray theories. He has a ray theory. He says, two Jedi/Force-sensitive parents. No one has ever been a child of two Jedi because of the code, at least that we know of. And he asks thoughts. Well, Darth Vanquish, I like that theory. In fact, to be honest, for whatever reason, the thought of Luke being Rey's father, which I still think is the answer at the end of the day, it's a safe bet, but it's a bet I'd take. For some reason, I just assumed her mother was Force sensitive. I just assumed that it was another Jedi. It might be the Mara Jade influence. We all, in our minds, are still trying to overcome the fact that Mara Jade no longer officially exists and that her love with Luke no longer officially exists. So I think we're just kind of mentally slipping a similar character back in there. So for me, the thought that Rey's parents, whether they're Luke or not, are two Force-sensitive parents. Maybe it's Obi-Wan. Finding some solace with a fallen Jedi who also survived Order 66. Who knows? Maybe it's Luke and some kind of scandalous Jedi affair he had. I don't know. But I actually, Darth Vanquish, I actually buy into that. I actually kind of just assume that was the case. So that's why her big power to me, her overriding Jedi skill set makes some sense to me. He also has Darth Vanquish also has a Plagueis comment. If Snoke is Plagueis, could the Knights of Ren and not fully training Ren be made to maintain power unlike Palpatine? So to translate that a little bit more, as I read it bad, what he's saying is, hey, if Plagueis, he lost to Palpatine, essentially, if you believe what Palpatine told Anakin in Revenge of the Sith, which I watched again. I watched that movie again this week, and that scene, still one of my favorite scenes in the Star Wars movies. Not from a Jedi. Great moment. If Snoke is Plagueis, could he have learned and formed the Knights of Ren to kind of insulate him a little bit? And then keeping Ren untrained, not fully trained, and keeping him at bay, could it be to maintain power? Yeah, that's a good theory. Thing about these Sith and Dark Force users is they're very paranoid, they're very power hungry. So it would make sense that if he was burned before, he's going to insulate himself a little bit more. I still think there's someone else with Snoke, Plagueis otherwise, there's someone else with Snoke. I still think Benicio del Toro could be the true right-hand man of Snoke.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Moving along here, Patrick at Patrick_Soler checks in at #SpotlightStarWars and Force Center Pod. Ask, was Rey's Force vision like Quinlan Voss's in Dark Disciple when he touched his master saber? Patrick, that's the first thing I thought of, having just read the book Dark Disciple not too much too long before I saw Force Awakens, and liking Dark Disciple, not one of my favorite of the new canon, but it's very good, and I would have been interested to see it as a run on the Clone Wars cartoon like it was originally supposed to be. It's a good book, though. I definitely think you all should check it out if you haven't. Quinlan Voss, kind of the Native American hippie, earthy Jedi a little bit of a rogue Jedi. Voss is one of my favorite Jedi. He's got some of these powers, man. He touches things and he suddenly sees things. He gets visions through touch. So when Rey had that moment, I smiled in the theater and said to myself, that's just like Quinlan Voss. So Patrick, you and I are on the same page. Maybe she has some kind of powers there. Maybe she'll touch him more. Maybe she shakes hands with Luke and suddenly gets a vision and the whole story is explained. It's possible. It could very well happen. So thanks for checking in, Patrick, on that. Final question I want to talk about today on this scattered episode. My mind's going in many different directions, because I think there was a good week to be a Star Wars fan. A lot to talk about. I actually wish Joseph and Jennifer were here so we could dive into this a little more, not just me talking in my room, staring at my Funko Pop Star Wars figures, having a conversation with them. But hey, I'm having a conversation with you. So Patrick Barman, our friend Patrick Barman at P_Barman, head of the Imperial podcast feed. He says, simple question this week. I like simple questions, Patrick. Simple question. He says, who is your favorite character from Force Awakens and why? All right. It is a simple question. Is it? Actually, I think that's kind of a complicated, right? You can't answer that simply. It is a simple question. But I'm going to make it complicated. I love Kylo Ren. It's very clear if you look around my room of all the Star Wars merchandise I've purchased in the last year, there's a lot of Kylo Ren. And statistics show that is probably the most purchased of the new characters in terms of toys. It's also, I think, the most made. Hashtag where's Rey? She's out there, but there's more of Ren. Going into Force Awakens, I was all on board Ren, as I still am. Just based on the design, I think it's one of the best designs in Force Awakens in terms of character design and actually in all Star Wars. It is very Star Wars. When the first official, not the concept stuff, but the first official shots of Ren started coming out, I that was the first time I really, really felt, I think this is going to be good. I think we're in good hands. Now, to be fair, Maul had the same type of vibe, and we can talk about Phantom Menace some other time, but Ren had the Star Wars design. That is a Star Wars villain to me. Great design. There's a reason that character was popular from the get-go. That is a perfect design. I'm giving it 10 out of 10, Sith out of Sith. It is great. I even love the lightsaber. I love the hood. I love the mask. Now, then I see the movie, and Ren even gets better. especially on repeat viewing. Ren gets better. The mask comes off. There's some layers there. There's some darkness there. We are actually, for the first time, really taking our time and watching someone become the supervillain. We didn't get that time in Sith. Again, having just rewatched Sith, as much as I do enjoy Revenge of the Sith, I definitely do not enjoy the quick turn of Anakin. There's just no way you slice it. It's too quick of a turn for me. We didn't get to spend that much time with him really struggling with it. Suddenly he's Darth Vader. Rise. I like what they're doing with Ren. But simple question, Patrick. Complicated answer. I would not answer officially that my favorite character in The Force Awakens is Kylo Ren. It's definitely one of my – look, I like pretty much – all the new characters in The Force Awakens, they did a great job. It's why I like the movie so much. But if I'm going to answer that question, I'm going to answer with this. My favorite character from The Force Awakens is, without a doubt, Rey. Rey. Yeah, you want to debate on her Force powers, how she got them. Like I said, hey, maybe it's two Force-sensitive parents. Maybe the Force created her and the midi-chlorian count is so high in her because the Force was trying to bring balance after the mistake of Anakin. I can get behind that theory too. But Rey is my favorite character for in-story reasons and societal reasons and just the execution performance reasons. There's so much there for Rey. Just on the story level, I think Rey is the hero we deserve. I've mentioned before, I love going to cons and conventions this past year and seeing so much Rey cosplay, especially in females 15 and under, because I look at it and I go, that's what this was supposed to do. It was supposed to ignite and inspire a younger female fan base because they were hungry for it, deservedly so, because they didn't. The female fan base didn't and hasn't gotten enough in the Star Wars universe. I don't think there's an argument for that. When I see some of the older female Star Wars fans cosplaying as Rey, that's awesome too. But I think when I see a 9-year-old girl cosplaying as Rey, I go, this is it. They did it right. They did it right. But here's the thing, and hear me out. They could have put any female character in The Force Awakens in kind of a elevated role, a lead role, and I think you would have had that reaction, again, because the female fan base was hungry for it. We needed this. We needed a, quote, strong female character, because that is a part of the national conversation now. We needed that. So, and again, hear me out. I think any character, any female character could have been in that spot, and you would have seen the female fan base gravitate to that character and cosplay and be excited and celebrate it. But the character could have been bad. The character could have been done completely wrong. It still would have got that. But from my point of view, fortunately, and wonderfully, Rey, the character of Rey, and Daisy Ridley deserve this. This was earned. This adoration and this inspiration was earned because it's such a good character, such a fun character. I saw the movie 6 times in the theaters, and again, I think that's a lot. I don't think I'm going to get out to see it anymore, and I don't even know if it's in theaters anymore. I'm waiting for those Blu-rays. 6 times I saw it, and there was a lot of things I learned, and this viewing was better. I liked the X-Wings in this one versus I liked the Starkiller base more than in the sixth viewing than I did in the first, and Han and Chewie and Ren and blah, 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 blah. The one thing I liked from my first viewing to the most recent and last viewing of Force Awakens was Rey on Jakku. There's something about that character there. There's something about Daisy Ridley's performance that I don't worry about. How does she know to mind control? And how is she so good at lightsaber fighting? You know what? Fair questions. Fair Star Wars nerd bubble questions. But on Jakku, that character is engaging, charming, inspires empathy and compassion. You feel for that character. You like that character. Her saving of BB-8 is to me her save the cat moment that works well. The interplay I'm such a fan of Daisy Ridley, just what she did and the little things she was able to do with the character. This silent nod to BB-8 saying, all right, fine, come with me. You can stay with me tonight, but then you're out of here in the morning, kid. Love that moment. The moment when she's staring at the old lady as she's cleaning, and Ray's cleaning the parts that she scavenged, and the old lady's cleaning the parts. That's kind of either a really endearing, cute moment where Ray's kind of, oh, look at this nice old lady, or as I took it in the cut of the movie. And I heard that there was actually maybe it was cut up and that Ray was actually looking at a family boarding a starship to take off from Jakku, and that that tied into her either not getting off the planet, having to wait on the planet, and also missing her family. That could have been a great moment too, but they didn't cut it like that. They cut it with Ray cleaning parts that she scavenged, and she's looking at this old lady, and the way it was cut and the way it was played and Daisy Ridley's acting, it's kind of a deep moment to me. I took it as her looking at this old lady thinking, that's going to be me, because I'm never getting off this planet and I'll never find my family, and that will be me, and I'll be doing this for the rest of my life. And to me, it's kind of a deep and sad moment. So the character on Jakku is where I grew to just really love this character. Forget all the other things he does, and there's great things. The lightsaber fight, I don't care. You know what? At the end of the day, now that time has passed, I don't care where Rey got her lightsaber powers. And I agree, even in the first viewing, the second viewing, I was like, she's really good. But I agree, after discussing it with other people, most notably my pal Joseph Scrimshaw on this very network, saying, hey, you know what? The Force flows through you. The Force can guide you. So you know what? She's good at lightsaber fighting. She has a little beginner's luck. I still think you're going to see Rey struggle in 8 more than she did in 7. Because, hey, sometimes you start strong. Sometimes you're a rookie who gets a homer in your first at bat. It happens. And then the next season you bat 230, all right? I don't worry about any of that, especially now. It was just a pure, awesome, fun Star Wars moment when that lightsaber, very reminiscent of Empire, flies out of the snow, zips past Kylo Ren, and it's into the hands of Rey. I get the chills. I'm getting it now. That is one of the best moments in the Star Wars universe. You know it, I know it, the American people know it. The world knows it. Rey is the hero we deserve, and that character earned all of the adoration. That character deserves every cosplay out there. Every 8-year-old girl that watches The Force Awakens and says, I want to be like Rey, that character deserved it. It earned it. It is absolutely the hero we are going to get behind for these next movies. I love it. I love it. Rey is, without a doubt, my favorite character for The Force Awakens. So, Patrick, simple question, you say? Yep. Complicated answers? Yep. But that's my answer, quite simply. Rey. If you want to join the conversation on Twitter, like I said, follow me at @KatNapsok. Follow us at @ForceCenterPod and #SpotlightStarWars. I want to hear from you. Maybe you can have a simple question that can inspire a complicated answer. As always, it's been fun. Get ready for the Blu-ray release of Force Awakens, April 5th, digital on April 1st. Deleted scenes coming. Looks like we're going to get to see that Ren on the Falcon scene. I'm excited about that. I didn't even get to spend a moment on that because I want to get on with my day and let you guys get on with your day and get back to celebrating Star Wars on your own time. So until next time, I'm Ken Napsok. This has been Spotlight Star Wars on the Force Center podcast feed. We'll see you. And may that Force thing kind of sort of always remain around you.
Thank you. Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out for a chance to win the French Open title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV, live in HD. Don't miss a moment with daily live coverage and match replays on demand, beginning Monday, May 20th. Be there for all the unforgettable moments. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.